I'm Josefina Bonsundinvumba. Welcome to Retential Conversations, the podcast. I truly believe in the untapped potential existing in Africa and within African communities inside and outside of Africa, whose talent, hard work, and innovations can help and are helping transform our societies. I also believe in the value of stories and that by sharing, we can identify common lessons, challenges, and opportunities for growth. This podcast is for those interested in African narratives and topics that touch African communities, with the hope of creating a safe platform for open conversation, learning, and inspiration. I hope you're as excited as me and that you enjoy listening. Blah, 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 I lead you. Hi everyone, I'm so excited to share this great interview with Diane Audrey Ngako, who hails from the city of Douala in Cameroon. Diane's story is really cool. She's built an amazing career with some of the biggest media outlets in France, but felt a calling to take her life back to her motherland. I loved hearing about Diane's journey, her perspective on dynamics between the African diaspora and continent, and her various startups. I really hope you enjoy this conversation too. Blah, 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 I lead you. Who is Diane Audrey Ngako?
My name is Diane, and so I'm from Cameroon. I was born and raised in Douala, Cameroon. Then I left for France when I was 12. And I grew up in France until my 25th, when I chose to come back home, where I live now in Cameroon, Douala. And back in the days, I used to be a journalist in France for Le Monde and TV5, so the two major media in the world. And 2 years ago, I chose to go back home because I thought that was my role as a diaspora, as an African woman, as a representative or representation of the youth, of the African youth, to be on the ground. Mm-hmm. And my reflection was to say, if everybody just go out, who is going to do things?
Of course.
And I definitely wanted to inspire my generation to believe in her full potential. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I say that sometimes we are scared to do things. So if you do things, that's work. Or not work, and you can share it with an audience online. People will be able, on 1,000 people who follow you, maybe 10 will be able to do the same. And that's how you can change things. And yeah, in Cameroon, I run a communication agency called Omenkart, Omenkart. Mm-hmm. And 1 month ago, I organized an art fair, Douala Art Fair, dedicated to contemporary art and design in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm. So what has the journey been since you got back to your roots in Cameroon? What kind of feelings did you experience? Has it been difficult? Has it been exciting? Has it been challenging? How would you describe your journey since you left France and you arrived to Cameroon?
So exciting, challenging, and difficult. So you resume everything. So I went back on 2016, but I wanted to come back on 2013, I think. Mm-hmm. That was, because I remember that in 2012, I said to my parents that I would like to come back to go back home. But I think I was maybe 20 or 21, something like that. And my mom, it was a no for my mother, who live in France. And for my dad, who live in Cameroon, it was a no too, not because he did not want me to come back, but mostly because he felt like if you come now, you won't be able, you will leave Cameroon and you won't be able to come back. It's better to grow up. Mm-hmm. It's better to see, to understand the environment by coming 2 times, 3 times, 4 times per year before landing in Douala. Because, you know, I was a part of that generation who organized conference in France, in Paris. And like every week, we had a conference on the continent, telling about the full potential, sharing our dream about this continent. Mm-hmm. And me, I was lucky enough because the fact that my father and my brother and sister live in Cameroon was some kind of connection. And I was born and raised there until my 12. So I had these little memories. But I can see that a lot of my group was people who were born in France. And we tried to see and find a connection by living in France, but they knew and they still know nothing about the continent. So we were all this group thinking, dreaming. And then you think that you know, because not only the way you see Africa is the way people see Africa. So you think that you know, and then you come back and you feel like, oh my God, I know nothing.
So what is the biggest shock or perhaps realization that you've had between what you thought you knew when you were in France and what you actually know now that you are in Douala?
You know, I can't really explain it. I just think, and that's why I say to a lot of person that ask me advice about going back home, and I feel that there's no advice. You just have to come on the ground and do things. There's no advice, because I was on that place when I asked people to give me advice, and for me there's no advice. The question that people have to ask themselves, do you want to do it or you don't want to do it? And you definitely need to have, you don't go back home because you want to earn more money. You can earn more money if your father is maybe president or minister, all of that. But if you are a basic person and you just want to make money, it won't be enough. The reality on the ground won't be, I mean, it will be really hard to you. So when when I say hard, it's like money doesn't really matter with your environment. So you are able to say, okay, I got the money, but man, I'm just tired of mentality. But I don't really think that this once there was something like just say, oh my God, it's so different. But you can see different thing in different way. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur. I run a company, and you know, people always say, okay, I'm going to pay you on Monday, and 3 months later, you will have nothing. And no matter how you can talk and speak, you feel harmless. And you feel like there's a system. You can work on an amazing thing, and then we cut the light. One day, 2 days, and this is a system. You can do nothing. You can make jokes with friends in France, like basic jokes, and saying the same jokes here is like, oh my God, are you crazy? I'm going to beat you. And you're like, oh, calm down. You can say, you know, in French, I could say in French, fou, or like, are you crazy? Because the thing is that you say is stupid, not because I believe that you're stupid.
Yes.
That you say stupid.
Yeah.
It's the same thing to my boyfriend or one of my friends. It's going to be like, do you think I'm stupid? Because you think you are better? And you're like, oh my God.
This is a complete different context, obviously. So it's hard.
Yes. Yes. And you know, we all sometimes we like to believe that people are really friendly, but it's not always the case. So I mean, this is my experience, my off experience. It's like you have to recognize that you grew up in a different society with different code, and that you have to learn about this new code. I mean, we are not, maybe we can say, oh, I'm not born in Africa, but Africa is born in me. Okay, girl, maybe because when you like to eat food, only that, or you like to use or slang, that's it. But on the ground, you are nothing that a North American, you are nothing that a French, nothing at an Australian, because we grew up in that. And somehow you have to come back and accept that. Like, oh yeah, I'm really Parisian, is a fact. But I have to learn about my culture. I want to learn about my people. I want to learn to be integrated.
Do you think there's a middle ground between, or if there is, what is the middle ground between being an African in Africa and an African in the diaspora? And how can the two come together towards common goals? What is the role of each part? Because there's always going to be African diasporas, right? But also, we should be connected to Africa. And what is the best way to connect? Does it mean that everyone has to move to Africa? Or is there a role for people or something that they can do from the diaspora to contribute to the bigger goals, hopefully, that are for the whole continent or for the Africans as a general?
So this is a good question. I believe that it's not everybody that wants to go back home, okay? But when you have this power inside you, like me, I was literally burning in France. And I felt like, I was doing this for Le Monde, so I was talking about Africa on Le Monde. But I felt like my role was nothing. People would say, oh yeah, you have visited Afrique, you showcase the way people travel around the continent. Oh yeah, you are working at Le Monde as a journalist and all of that. But I felt that my role was to be on the ground, to make things happen. But I definitely agree that we need to have people all over to the world to be connected, to exchange, to do things bigger. My father always said that his generation, his role of his generation, is like 65, was to build Cameroon. But our role today as a Cameroonian is to build the world, including Cameroon. So that's how I think the diaspora can work. But it's super different depending on the country. In Cameroon, we don't have the double citizenship, meaning that you are French or you are Cameroonian. You are American or you are Cameroonian. So you can't really invest even in your country, because you can invest and people will say, okay, we are going to keep it because you're not from the country.
Yeah, of course, that would make a big difference, right, on how people also perceive you.
And being African from the diaspora, you don't have to see yourself higher than the people on the ground, because you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And the error that people do sometimes when they come back home, they like to make feel people on the ground smaller. Oh yeah, it's cool what you do, but you know, in Paris it's amazing. Oh, it's cool what you do, yeah, but in New York they did that like 15 years ago, 20 years ago. You know, we're supposed to work together and to learn from each other.
Of course. So you've mentioned a bit of your work at the Douala Art Fair. Could you tell us a bit about the Douala Art Fair? What is it, and what were you trying to achieve with this initiative, for example?
You know, I believe that for our state, we always talk about education, we always talk about health, we always talk about agriculture. But when it comes to the creative industry in Africa, we don't talk a lot about it. But since Nigeria is on the top of the world, now our state are trying to say, oh, everywhere they put Afrobeat, everywhere we found a Nigerian. Even Nike, they did something with the Nigerian team. But meaning there's something that maybe we can do. And I was always passionate by art. I always bought art. And I felt like I had to give envy to the same thing, to my generation or bigger than my generation, to do the same. Because artists are able to dream. And as a Cameroonian, as a young, I feel really tough to dream in Cameroon. And I'm always surprised when I see all these artists dreaming, keep thinking about how the world can be, how Cameroonian can be, having this power, that this light that I don't see in my first Cameroonian. So I felt like, and I remember that 1 year ago, or when I arrived in Cameroon after the sixth exciting month, when you still have your money and you don't really want to think about what you are going to do next, because you're like, okay, you know, it's going to be okay. But I felt at some point, you know, at the beginning of 2017, I was like, okay, so what next? What I'm supposed to do? How I'm going to manage things? And I feel a little bit down, and talking a lot with artists to see that there's, even in the most dark place, there's a light. That's staying in my head. And I say to myself and to these artists that I met, that, okay, I burn your art every time when I can, but it's not enough. Enough is to make people burn more than me, burn more than myself, to give you the possibility to make dream more people than me. Mm-hmm.
So basically you would say that the the purpose of the Douala Art Festival, Art Fair, was to kind of bring these feelings on other people, to allow people to have these feelings? How would you?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, and next, to create an African generation of Boyer. We can't just see our art in France, in London, in New York, and just being at home and say, oh, there's a boom of contemporary African art in the world. But we're not able to know our artists. This is not cool.
Yeah.
This is not good. And and it's not good that most of the, of this African art are built by non-African.
Yes.
It's mostly European, American, now Middle East and Asia, but not a lot of Black person, especially Black African. And I felt like, okay, we need to create a generation of African buyers, because even if the artists are well known in 10 years, we are going to be to have a million on our wall.
And do you have plans to continue this in years ahead?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be each year. The next is going to be next year. And we already have the team, the French, you say them. Mm-hmm. We already have the theme.
Like the subject, the topic.
The subject, mm-hmm. Yeah, the topic. And the topic is flying over Africa.
Climbing over Africa?
No, flying.
Oh, flying over Africa. That's really nice. And when exactly is this scheduled to happen? Is it happening in the summer?
It's always on June.
Okay, so it's going to happen in June. Fantastic, we'll note that. And you mentioned in flying over Africa, and I've seen that you've created an organization. Well, I've seen your page, Visiter l'Afrique.
Yeah, it's a website. It's just to tourism in Africa.
So how did that? What are you trying to achieve with that website? What is Visiter l'Afrique?
Visiter l'Afrique is a platform dedicated to tourism in Africa. It's a collaborative platform. This is important. It's people, everybody in the world that travel on the continent or live on the continent is able to tell the whole story of Africa. Because we felt like 4 years ago, when I launched this website, I felt like a lot of person who were able to talk about this continent, especially on Ebola, Boko Haram stuff, were not African, and they didn't know about Africa, and they like to let people think that Africa is a country, but Africa is a continent of 54 countries. So that was my role, say to people, hey, be careful. There's maybe a problem in Guinea-Conakry, but next to Guinea-Conakry, there's nothing. People live well. And even in Guinea-Conakry, people live well.
Mm.
And it works well. We edited a book 1 year ago, and we are working on 5 city guides. And yeah, it's a good adventure.
Amazing. It does sound exciting. I'm a person that loves traveling. So when I discovered it, I was very excited. Especially because, as you said, even among Africans, we can't really talk much about other countries next door because we don't travel enough or we have misconceptions. And actually, my next question is, in your opinion, what are the biggest misconceptions about Africa, or when you're planning to travel, or when people think traveling in Africa? Because I think, like, sometimes there's a fear or there's, you know, tourism and Africa, they don't always go together unless it's a safari or something like that. What are your opinions on that?
So I think that first, most of people think that Africa is a country. This is the first problem, because when they heard there's something in Egypt, they feel like, oh my God, it's on the continent. I won't go there. They don't check. So first thing, you have to let them know that, oh, stop, Africa is a country. Africa is a continent. Egypt is on the north. South Africa is on the south. There's nothing that can... I mean, you can travel on the continent without feeling any fear because you heard there was an attentat or a bomb attack in Tunisia. And the thing is, African states have to do their own job too. They have to have a right tourism politics to let people know. People shouldn't be able to check. Information has to come close to her, next to them. And the people think that there's no roads. You know, there's no five-star hotel. You know, when you live outside, when you live outside of the continent, when you travel in the continent, you have two choices. People that do safari, that is really expensive, and they are fine with that. They will have the information because they bury everything together from the airport to the airport, actually. But now when you have the small budgets, you know, with 100 euro in France, you are able to have a nice place. But sometimes in different African countries, for 100 euro, you have a basic hotel for a night. So they're really scared about the lack of infrastructure, no roads, they don't want to have an accident, hotel, water, electricity, you see? Then the visa price for some countries and the flying ticket, the price of the flying ticket.
Yeah, and the connections, I imagine, because let's say you say I want to visit 5 countries, unless they're really accessible by road, sometimes making those connections, depending where you're coming from, is also a bit challenging, isn't it?
I work a lot in Morocco, and it's 2 times sometimes expensive than going in France or London. Sometimes I can buy the same price Douala Morocco than New York. But this is normal because the tourism infrastructure is not really developed, but that they are starting to do it. And you know, even in our own country, we don't travel, so we should be able to already know our own country before trying to travel around the continent. And people, when they travel, is because of the business or it's because of a family event, a death, a wedding, something like that. So we don't have the attitude. It's not we don't travel for hobbies. So, but with time, we will be able to make it happen.
Yeah, that's why I think Visitel Afrique is very interesting, because even when you're thinking of traveling, it's nice to see other people that have gone to certain places that are not necessarily all going to do the same thing. So it's quite interesting. So I actually have another 3 questions, because I know you're limited in time. So you've talked a bit about the challenges, some of the challenges you face doing all these different work in Cameroon. I'd like you to tell me a bit perhaps about the top 3 challenges that you faced and or you're facing and how you overcame them. So how do you pass beyond these challenges? How do you face these challenges in your daily work?
So the first thing is finance. People don't pay on time in Cameroon, and it's like normal. At the beginning, I used to cry. I was like tired, really mad, like why? But now, I just breathe. And I'm like, just let it go. If the money comes, it's good. If the money doesn't come, it's good too. I can put my health or because of the money. And as soon as I start doing that, I felt much more better. And then I try to find company that can go to get my money for myself. And what next? What other thing? Finding the right person. Finding the right person, create a brand culture. A company culture. You know what? The reason why of your company. It's like a company guidelines. Things that make people feel like they belong to a company. Mm-hmm. And why we belong to this company. So you learn that at school. You learn that by watching the TED Talk of Simon Sinek, and you're working on that for your team, and then you build a team that can stay or that can leave, unfortunately. And it's not evident to find the right person in Cameroon. Even if they went to school, you feel like they went to school, they learn at school, but they have no background, no experience, and they know nothing, but they want the money that goes with with the high diploma plus five, like with a bachelor.
So how do you overcome that? How do you face that? How do you deal with that?
I think the first year that was tough, so I lost a part of my team because of that. But when I hire a new person, and I told them one thing: you don't have the talent today. Not the talent, the skills to work in my company. But I can make you have the skill by working in my company. And I'm pretty sure that if you leave my company, everybody will want to work with you. I won't give you money because I need to be sure that my company is... I can give you the money that you want, maybe, because I need to have to see my company go somewhere in 2-3 years. I don't want to promise you I'm going to give you 300,000 francs CFA and then 6 months later, I'm not able to pay you. I can't do it. And I don't give you money, but I build career. I always said that to my team. And they're here. So they work a lot on creative things, and they're happy with it.
So are you saying that you're perhaps also focusing more on changing the mindsets, which is quite important, right? Because
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's very good. And what would you say is the third one?
And the third one. I mean, it's going to be the same thing, but everybody wants to be entrepreneur now in Africa. I'm so done with that. Everybody say, oh, entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship. And so, yeah, so they come work for you just to take everything you can. You can have, and then they go build the same company. I mean, they go try to build the same company.
That must be quite challenging. It's quite hard to overcome that because it sounds like something that just happens.
Yes, it is.
So how that must be quite a complicated environment, right? Because you obviously want to give all and discuss all your ideas with everyone in your team, but also you have to be a bit cautious about this environment. So how do you balance that out? How do you know how much is...
No, you know, I just do it. And then if you want to leave, that's your own business. Because I know that outside the business is tough.
Yeah.
And nobody has the strength.
Yeah. It takes more than ideas, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So what's the advice you wish someone had given you in the course of your personal and professional life? If there was one thing that you wish you had known earlier, what would that be?
You know, less talking, just do it. For me, that's what I would say to someone today. But I don't feel like, you know, I for Le Monde, I met a lot of entrepreneurs on this continent. So I felt like I had a lot of information. And I was always focused on personal development and all of that. And I don't feel like I don't have like, the right advice. I was lucky to have my parents on the ground, but I felt like today, if I had to say people that want to be entrepreneur, I would say, just do it. And if after 1 year or 6 months you feel like that's not for you, just stop doing it. Because sometimes people think that they have the entrepreneur skills, but they don't. And they keep pushing, then they have the burnout. And it's good to know your skills and your limits, yeah.
But how do you, just to challenge a bit that idea, how do you know what your limits are? How do you know whether something is for you? Because obviously challenges are something that everyone is always going to experience. But when do you know when a challenge is too big for you?
When you are starting to become depressive for something that you're supposed to like,
yeah.
depressive for something that you think that was meant for you. I think when you feel, I mean, I remember I had a conversation with one of my friends that felt depressive for a job that she loved. And I said, my girl, that's not for you. Entrepreneurship is not for you. You can love your work without being an entrepreneur. because when you're an entrepreneur, you have to make sure that everything is okay, not only your work, the work of everybody. You have to pay rent, you have to pay salary, you have to. And sometimes you have to rent a house with children, with husband. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So it's interesting because you already kind of started responding to my last question. But I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway because it's almost there. So if you could send three messages to young African or African diaspora communities out there, what would these messages be?
So this last two times, I mean, this last time, I always say that, as I said today, even in the darkest places, a light. You always have to have your eyes on the light, because sometimes you feel really alone on your journey. I don't see how you say that. But you always have to see the light. Always keep your eyes on the light. Always, no matter what's happened. Always have your eyes on the light, because that's how you make things happen. Then I love this quote saying that if opportunity doesn't knock on your door, build the door. That's my life. I always say that. And I always keep that in my head. And I always kept that in my head for the last 10 years. That if opportunity doesn't knock on my door, I have to build a door and make it happen. And don't be scared to create great company, but not big company. And that's especially my idea of entrepreneurship, especially with my agency called Omankart. I choose to be a great company and not a big company. And I feel okay with that. And that was the same thing for Visited Afrique when we had the opportunity to raise money. And I said to my team, there's no rush. There's no rush in life, and we should choose to be a good company and a great company and not a big company, because big companies are not always great.
Yeah. So whether you either choose, you want to be, it's like quality over quantity almost, right?
Yes.
And actually, I know that I said that was my last question, but because you said something quite inspirational, I'd like to ask, who inspired you or what is your source of inspiration?
To be cheesy, my mother, my father. Of course, Oprah, Michelle and Barack Obama.
Why these people? If you could tell me why? Are they just because they're your mom, your father, everyone knows Oprah? Or is there anything that they do or they say that makes you feel a certain way?
My father, because from nothing, he built big things. He built something. For his humility, he's really humble. And I'm always inspired by him because of that. My mother, because she's a go-getter. And I took that for her. My father is not a go-getter. He's just smart. And he knows how to do things. My mother, she's a go-getter. She has a goal and she's going to go get it. So I took this from her and I'm really thankful for that. Barack Obama and Michelle for the leadership. And for the fact that they never forget to be black, even if they always say that, oh, we are American, but they did a lot of things for our community. I mean, for their community, black Afro-American, and they show that black Americans are not good on basketball or baseball. They can graduate from Harvard, being a lawyer, and being president of United States, and I like it because it's good. It's like Black Panther. It's good for the next generation, and I like Shonda Rhimes, Ava DuVernay, of course Oprah. I'm a huge fan of Oprah, and my friend. I think I'm really inspired by my friend, and I always tell my friend that they really inspire me because, and I always tell people that they should be focused on people around themselves, because you know we are we are the addition of people that are around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I would take care of that. to the people that are around myself, because I don't want to do up about people around me. I want to be free, and I want to be me when I am with my people. So I'm really inspired by people, and I always meet people and sharing with people inside the taxi, when I walk in the street. I like people.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Diane.
My pleasure.